Amen. Dr. Williams, Dr. Baker, distinguished platform guests, family of Oakwoodites, it is a great and peculiar privilege and pleasure for me to be here today. To have my name linked with two icons of the church is more than I could ever have imagined. I well remember when the Joe Wheeler choo-choo train pulled into Huntsville Station in the autumn of 1947. And I, with others, stepped off into the darkness. And then to notice that carloads of Oakwood students had come down just to meet the train. Nobody asked them to do it. They came. They collected us and our luggage and took us out to Oakwood College. That reception and the very spiritual ambiance of Oakwood College made me an Oakwoodite forever. And now I can say that I am an alumnus of Oakwood University. I like the ring of it. I'm glad to be here today, and we have a rich heritage, those of us who love this school. To give some context, and by the way, Elder Bradford is going to preach the sermon. I decided that several weeks ago. I suggested that I might give a title to my brief remarks. One word, steady. Steady. And to give some context to this, I'm going to tell you my father, my dad, was born in 1886. And for a lot of his life, conveyance was the same as in the days of Christ. Horses, donkeys, wagons. My dad loved horses. He kept his harnesses oiled and studded with silver studs. His wagon was red and green. And the clip-clop sound of his team riding through any kind of neighborhood brought children out by the scores just to see them go by. My daddy was the first horse whisperer I ever knew anything about. Do you know that today folk own horses, some of which are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars apiece, but they are utterly useless because they are too fractious, too nervous, too jumpy, too hyped up, too unsettled? When this idea came into my head, I went to Yahoo to see what was happening today. It might surprise you that scores of horse whisperers abound in this country and around the world. Their job is to calm down these nervous charges. Make them useful and effective. The job of the horse whisperer is to gentle the animal. Would you believe that one of the listings under Yahoo was for Wild Horse Ministries? I had trouble with that. I want to tell you a story that's true. There was a billionaire by the name of Sid Sternberger who had a clubhouse on the periphery of my community. One day he was there at his clubhouse during a hard-driven rainstorm. When he finally got ready to go, he started his LaSalle limousine and began to drive down the unpaved road. He came to a low spot, and before he realized the problem he had, he was into 2 feet of mud and water, a loblolly of goop. Here was this rich man in a very rich automobile, and all he could do was sit there, disgusted with himself, and blow his horn. Some of our neighbors thought if they could push him out, he might put a dollar in their hands. Now, remember the context. In those days, men worked 10 hours for $1. They thought he would tip them, and so they willingly plunged into that sucking mud. And they pushed and grunted and strained, but they could not move that heavy car. One neighbor went home and got his Hoover tractor. You got to be my age to understand that. And he came and backed into that same stuff and hooked a chain to Sid Sternberger's LaSalle. And he got stuck. Finally, the men decided we'd better send for Bob Brooks and his team. Dad hooked up his horses, and I jumped in the wagon with him, and we went down there. And when we got there, I heard some men say, "Those horses will never move that. He can't pull this off. It cannot be done," they hoped. My dad simply drove to the mud. Now, these horses understood this was not an ordinary assignment. And I don't think they liked it. Their ears flicked forward like television antenna. And then Dad spoke. And this is all he said. "Steady, boys." When my daddy said that, those matched black Percherons fell into their leather collars. It was almost like kneeling, their bellies touching the mud. And as they strained, the LaSalle grunted and moved. And the Hoover tractor moved too. And soon the horses were on drier and higher ground. The whole conglomerate of stuck-in-the-mud folks were rescued. And all Dad said was, "Steady, boys." No yelling. Certainly no cussing. No carrying on. I remember something else he told me. Because the first thing he did was tighten the reins a little bit. And he said, "Son, you don't do this to hold the horses back. You do this so that they will know there's a man on the other end of these things. My friends, across this nation and the world, there are now multiplied thousands of Seventh-day Adventist congregants who are nervous, fractious, fearful, upset, wondering, doubting. Why? Because conditions around the world are foreboding, even scary, dangerous, and discouraging. And they are crying out for encouragement. And from heaven, I can almost hear the Lord say, "Steady now. Steady. Didn't I tell you, let not your hearts be troubled? Ye believe in God, believe also in me." In fact, I told you a second time, and I said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Didn't you understand what I said to you? I've not given you the spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of courage and a sound mind. Just believe what I say to you. But Lord, darkness covers the earth. Gross darkness, the people. The economy is broken up in our country. Foreclosures are ruining Adventist families just like everybody else. Things seem to be falling apart. Folk are panicking. They're giving up. They find it hard to cope. And disaster seems to lurk around every corner. We're not safe even in our own homes. Crime is on the increase. Immorality is as pervasive as in Sodom and Gomorrah. Tragedy and famine and trauma are everywhere we look. Lord, steady. Didn't I tell you, lo, I am with you always, even to the consummation of the ages? Didn't I tell you, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Didn't I tell you, be not dismayed, neither be thou fearful? Didn't I tell you that? Remember what I've told you. But Lord, we are students of prophecy, and even when we study the prophecies, we find things that are unsettling. As a matter of fact, we're told that the prison house awaits some of us. They'll slam us into these desolate places and lock the door and walk away, not even providing food, and we will have to languish for no telling how long. Don't you know that prison walls cannot keep prayers in? I will hear your prayer, and I will answer. And I've already told you, your bread and your water shall be sure. But Lord, what about going to court? That's in the great controversy. We'll be hauled into court. We don't know this kind of business. We don't know the language of the court. We'll be hauled into court, and demons will be there in human form to prosecute us, Lord. But I already sent you a message that when demons come, my angels will wear pinstripe suits, and they will come into court for the defense. And this will be the last opportunity for many jurists and many who love to read the newspapers, and I'll hold the door of probation open just for them. But I tell you again, be not afraid. Steady. But Lord, why is it necessary? Why do we have all these things to go through? Why must we be here when the plagues are falling?
Why, Lord?
I told you, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Lord, we're still having trouble with understanding why this is necessary. Because I love you, that's why. And I will stop at nothing to prepare you for habitation in a holy place with holy beings. And you are not ready yet. Your earthliness must be consumed. You're going to be worn down until all you can hold on to is my hand. I'm going to let you go through that so that your earthliness will be consumed. And you notice I didn't say worldliness. You won't even be with my group if you have that. But the earthliness is that part of you you were born with. That human weakness. Those dark thoughts that come into your mind when they shouldn't.
Until all we gotta get rid of this. Is my hand.
We gotta get rid of this. But Lord, didn't you also tell us we'll have to live without an intercessor? Didn't we read that somewhere in the Spirit of Prophecy? Yes, without an intercessor, but not without a redeemer. Not without a Savior. And I want you to always keep in mind, as you can embrace it, how much I love you. My love is called by inspiration matchless, unfathomable, unspeakable. But Lord, why don't you just fix us and get us ready in short order and then take us on to glory with you? Haven't you read what I said to you in Desire of Ages? The disciples were not endowed with the courage and fortitude of martyrs. They were afraid too. They were not given the gift of courage until they needed it. And just when you need him most, not only to supply your needs, but he is able to take the sting out of death. That's why martyrs died singing hymns and with smiles on their faces. I have stood in the very tracks of Ridley and Latimer. And one said to the other, play the man. It may be that we'll start a fire here that will burn throughout Britain and the world as they yielded their lives to the flames. In Desire of Ages, the disciples didn't get it until they needed it. But Lord, who shall be able to stand? It's overwhelming, a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Who in the world can make it, Lord? Lord, can we stand? You can if I don't drop dead. I am he that liveth and was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore. And I've got the keys to death and hell. You have nothing to fear as long as you trust in me. Lord, tell us how to get prepared for this. And I read this in the Spirit of Prophecy. The only way. I want to see it again. The only way is to be rooted and grounded in Christ and rooted and grounded in this truth. That's the only way. But Lord, what about the shaking time that's coming? We have read that thousands will leave the church. Yes, many will turn against the true church. Surface readers anchored nowhere will be like shifting sand. Many will disappoint you. Many a light admired for its brilliancy will go out in darkness. But Lord, that's happening right now. Some are giving up right now. Tell us what to expect. Let me show you another side of it. While many are giving up, many sons and daughters of praying parents, many former students of Oakwood College, many even workers in the cause of God who strayed away will see the signs and come back home. Not only that, but there are millions standing on the verge of the kingdom now, waiting only to be gathered in. The ranks of the Lord's army will not be diminished. You don't have to worry about that. And now, from the ninth volume, page 228, some will have to suffer affliction, but they will suffer no affliction but such as is essential for their purification. Crosses and adversities are my workmen to refine you, to sanctify you, and to fit you for heaven. And when you're going through it, be comforted by the fact that you're sharing in my suffering. Lord, we really need the Holy Spirit now. How do we get it? Ask for it. And I don't mean just a sentence prayer. Ellen White uses a word, you've got to put faith to the stretch. Don't just say, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost, and then wonder if you got it. You got to ask. And you got to keep on asking till you mean it. You got to ask until you're willing to give up the world. You got to ask until you're willing to make any sacrifice. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you will know it by your conduct. Ask for it. It is the Father's pleasure to give it to you. But you've got to yearn for it. You've got to hunger for it. You've got to put faith to the stretch. Lord, there are some who think that a lot of the emotional excitement we are seeing today is a sign that we have received an outpouring. I believe in the power of emotions. I believe that to read the story of the cross and not be emotional is a sin. That's what we are told in the spirit of prophecy. God knows this is true. Soul-testing truths will require self-denial. I'm reading a bedlam of noise will be taken advantage of by Satan to deceive. So you've got to be very careful with that. But Lord, most people believe that miracles will be performed. What about those? Will that be a sign? And we are told God's people will not find safety in working miracles because Satan will counterfeit these. Listen, the truth must be studied. It must be searched for as for hidden treasure. You've got to put time into it. You've got to put prayer into it. And you've got to afflict the soul. Nobody will be lost because of sin. They'll be lost because they did nothing about it. In the time of probation, some among us will turn away, giving heed to seducing spirits and prince of devils. In the sixth volume, it says, prosperity multiplies a mass of professors, but adversity will drive them from the church. And one final word. I sent you a love gift. The purpose of it is to guide you through the very times we've been discussing. It's called the Spirit of Prophecy. Read it. Don't listen to all the criticisms. Read it. Read it for yourself, and you will come to a conclusion as you read it that it is indeed a love gift from God. And not only that, every requirement, every standard, every rule that is from God will become a pleasure in your life. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I'm steady.